I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
It's game day, and this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as the festive fixtures get underway. Penalty VAR Willie Colum Gate simply has to move into the past as Rangers welcome Dundee. There was a bit more drama on that front at Fir Park last night as Motherwell and Kilmarnock drew. And this afternoon, Ross County against St Mirren, Aberdeen against Hibs, and then over to Celtic to see what they can do at Tannadice tomorrow. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me you have Gordon DL, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans.
You're absolutely correct, Gordon. The fallout, the psychological scarring, the reaction throughout Europe, all of that has to go out the window for Rangers today. They need to focus on the league title race. Get a victory over Dundee, who derailed Rangers last season in their quest for the title, and see what they can do to close in on Aberdeen and Celtic. Aberdeen, they could do with a win. They haven't had one for a while, up against David Gray's Hibs at Pittodrie, who need to put more daylight between themselves and a seriously troubled Hearts side who don't play until tomorrow. But the object of the exercise for Rangers, get the lead over Celtic reduced and put pressure on Celtic tomorrow at Tannadice. Simple as that.
Yeah, important time of year. Fixtures come round really quickly and some big games this afternoon, yeah, particularly for Aberdeen and Rangers. Rangers just need to get back to winning ways against a Dundee side who will probably make it difficult for them. But Hugh's right, Aberdeen haven't won since November the 9th against Dundee. They could really do with getting their season back on track. And up in the Highlands, can St Mirren continue their decent form? Good win last week. Can they get another 3 points this week and in the Championship? Big games all across. A chance for Ayr to close the gap on Livi, and Thistle really could be doing with a win against Airdrie.
Yeah, it's a good fixture card. We're looking forward to today, Gordon. We should get plenty of excitement, plenty of goals, hopefully plenty of action. And as Mark quite rightly says, if you even look down the leagues, there's a lot of good games there.
Come on then, settle down. If you've managed to get the afternoon off the Christmas shopping, it's a miserable day out there, get the feet up. We'll take you through all the action and of course give you your chance to have your say as the afternoon progresses. If you just can't wait to pick up the phone, you can tweet us all afternoon at Clyde SSB. And as always on a Saturday evening, we'll take your calls later on and react only to today's big talking points, but anything from across the week, because it's been quite a busy week, even by Scottish football standards. However, it does need to make way to football, even for 90 minutes. So let's go to Ibrox, where Andrew McLean has the teams.
Yeah, let's hope that this is going to be a day where we can talk about some actual football. Would be quite nice. Seems a long time ago now over that free midweek, but things were looking up for Philippe Clement and his players, weren't they, over the last few games with that League Cup final defeat. Will it halt them in their tracks, or can they build on some of those decent displays that we saw against the likes of Tottenham? You think Ross County, Kilmarnock and Nice as well. There were some good displays in there that gave the fans a bit of positivity. So can they get back to that today at Ibrox? Still 11 points behind Celtic in the table, 2 behind Aberdeen. They do have a game in hand on them and a possibility that they could go ahead of Jimmy Tilleen's men if results go their way today. Not conceded in their last 3 league games either. The emergence of the likes of Danilo, Igaman and Hadji has given them that spark up top. Will Dundee be able to stop that? They're looking to get back into the top 6, just 2 points off it at the moment. Premiership matches involving Dundee this season have produced the most goals, matches involving Rangers the fewest. You look back to that team that Rangers put out at Hampden last Sunday. 2 changes made by Philippe Clement. Out go Balogun and Barami, who both dropped to the bench. Sterling and Danilo come in. So Jack Butland in goal, the back four, James Tavernier, Dujon Sterling, Proper and Jeff Day. It's then Nicholas Raskin and Mohamed Diamandé in midfield with Václav Černý, Hamza Igaman and Yanis Hadji in behind Danilo. The substitutes, Kelly, Yilmaz, Cortez, Barron, Dessers, Barami, Dowell, Balogun and McCausland. For the visitors, it's Trevor Carson in goal, the back five, Jordan McGee, Ryan Astley, Juan Portales, Billy Cometio and Finlay Robertson. It's then a midfield three of Mohamed Silla, Lyle Cameron and Josh Mulligan. Scott Tiffany supporting Seb Palmer holding up top. The substitutes: McCracken, Sharp, Ingram, Main, Murray, Kelly, Braybrook and Vetro.
I dare say it will still be the talking point that the Rangers fans will be covering walking along to Ibrox Hugh Keevans. But I suppose for Philippe Clement and his players, he made his position pretty clear that today, how on earth could you waste any more time on thinking about last week? I think the phrase he used that is probably the most accurate one is that fans are allowed to stay with that stuff, but the players can't. And they need to get the job done today.
The reality is, it's over and done with. They've had the full explanation, and it could hardly have been a more comprehensive explanation from Willie Collum, and they need to move on. It's a different competition, a competition in which they trail Celtic by some distance, and they simply have to take care of Dundee. He's picked a very strong team, and a team with a grievance is a dangerous team. So by all means, nurture the grievance, but you need to use it in a positive sense and get maximum points and not further irritate the crowd by letting them down in the way that they feel VAR let them down.
Give us your thoughts, Gordon, on that team. What jumps out for you?
Yeah, I think you look at the centre-half positions. Obviously, Suter's not available. And it was who's going to partner proper in the centre of defence. Sterling's come in there. He can do that, no problem at all. Tavernier keeps his place. Good to see Hadji coming back in as well there. So there's a lot of good players in that team, middle to front. I think we'll get plenty of goals at Ibrox today.
Any surprise that it's not Leon Balogun, though, who partners Robin Proper?
Yeah, I certainly do. I don't know what the situation is, whether he's maybe carrying a slight knock or just maybe not feeling great, because I like Balogun. I think he brings so much to it. I think he gives them the luxury of pushing up the pitch, because he's very pacey, and anything in behind he usually wins. He's very good in the air as well at set plays. So I don't know if it's maybe just a tweak somewhere. He's decided to go with Sterling, and it'll be interesting to see how they two do today. But looking at that team, looking at where Rangers have been the last few weeks, especially at home today against Dundee, you would imagine them getting 3 points.
It's the front four that's an interesting one. I think that's what excites the Rangers fans. So ever since he's made those changes where Hadji's came back into the side and Egeman has been in either in a central role or off one of the sides, Rangers have looked much improved. And I think the Rangers fans will welcome Danilo being in the side. Thought he did well for his goal, Czerny coming in his left foot. So it's another threat. But that creativity with Hadji and Egeman is what they'll need today against a Dundee side who will make it difficult for them. So I think it's a strong team. And with us, with the defensive side, with Sterling just dropping in there, I don't think that'll be a problem. It's going forward, the Rangers fans want to see more of the same.
Do you think it's a sign that Philippe Clement is now pretty clear about his plan and his options for games like this? Because this is the front four from the Kilmarnock game, it's the front four from the Ross County game. There's clearly then an acknowledgement that you probably can't go quite that way if you play Spurs or Celtic.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
once you get a home game against Dundee, you go back to it.
But it's what the Rangers fans have been crying out for all season, to sort of take the handbrake off. And do you really need that? Two defensive midfielders? Can you let your wide guys go and express himself? And it's been lacking for a lot of the season, but it's almost something clicked and Philippe Clement that he just thought, no, I'm going to go for it now, and it's certainly working.
Hugh, the Rangers fans are starting to get, I don't know if excited is the right word, but they feel like they're heading in the right direction. Yeah. We mentioned that Kilmarnock, Ross County, Spurs was a very good performance which ended in a draw. Last week, they pushed Celtic close, they still lost, but whether it's a combination of penalty grievance and the fact that it was close, they don't... Philippe Clement hasn't come out of that scarred.
No.
So how important is it for him that he keeps this going? Because you almost get the impression, the way we work in Glasgow and how knee-jerk we are, if today isn't a good one, a lot of that stuff will be undone in the eyes of supporters, it feels like.
It will vanish. It will simply evaporate into the air. Because the only thing that matters now is to see what can be done about a league title race that the Rangers fans gave up on at a very early stage in the season, but have now started to talk about once again. And I heard the expression used this week on Super Scoreboard, a Rangers fan coming on saying, I'm proud to be a Rangers supporter again. And that is a massive change in mindset, because at the start of the season they were saying that the team was a laughingstock, the manager was a laughingstock, they wanted him out. So Philippe Clement now has got to stop talking about what happened last Sunday. And he has overreacted to my way of thinking. It's not the talk of Europe, nothing like it. But he's got to remain in the good books where the Ibrox fans are concerned, because if any points are dropped today, at 5 o'clock, they'll be back on slamming the manager.
And as for Dundee, Mark, I suppose, are we just back to that traditional way of the teams like this in that portion of the league? They know they're going to have to go be bang at it and hope that the opposition are not quite there. Is that the gist of it?
Pretty simple. You expect, or you want your players, your top players like Simon Murray and so on, to have been the top of their game today, and you hope that Rangers, you know, are off it, the fans get on their back, and you manage to hold on for something. It's not being disrespectful, that's just the position Dundee find themselves in. Their season's been okay. I don't think it's been as good as last season at all. I think they've struggled at times, but they will come and make it difficult, and they do have that threat at the top end of the pitch. If they get a chance, you might put one away.
Okay, I'm sure plenty more to come in the discussion surrounding Rangers. Let's go to Aberdeen, because that is a huge, huge game for both sides. Hibs the visitors to Pittodrie. Dave Galloway's the man.
Yeah, Aberdeen in search of their first win in six games, Gordon, after that great start to the season that had everybody sitting up and taking notice. And Pittodrie will be almost packed to capacity to see this one, the last match here this year. Although the Dons still in second place, Rangers are breathing down their necks, just 2 points behind with a match in hand, as Andrew has recently alluded to. Jimmy Tilleen, well, he's had a couple of weeks to work with his players to try and put things right, and he has again said this week the team is on a journey. But yeah, they do need to start delivering wins once again. Hibs come here having shown at least some signs of a revival. They're off the foot of the Premiership and up to ninth place with two wins and a draw from their last four matches, including that thrilling 3-3 with Aberdeen in Edinburgh last month. Now, Gray saw that as a bit of a turning point in their campaign, and they'll take to the pitch today, determined to build a bit of momentum. Looking at the teams, Aberdeen make no fewer than four changes. In come Devlin, McKenzie, Sockler and Keskinen. Out drop Milne, McGarry, Morris and Nisbet. So it's Ross Doohan in goals. Across the back, Nicky Devlin, Slobodan Rubicic, Gavin Molloy and Jack McKenzie. The sitting midfielders, Graham Shinney and Sievert Heltonen-Nielsen. And it's Topi Keskinen, Leighton Clarkson and Jamie McGrath, with Esther Sockler the main man in attack. The subs, Richie, Polvara, Nisbet, Duke, McGarry, Palaversa, Morris, McDonald and Ambrose. A couple of changes for Hibs. Boyle and Campbell are in, out drop Hoylett and Gale. So Jordan Smith in goals, a back three of Warren O'Hora, Rocky Bashiri and Jack Iredale. Midfield, Chris Cadden, Nectarios Triantis, Joe Newell and Nicky Cadden, with Josh Campbell playing off Martin Boyle and Ellie Ewan in attack. The substitutes for the Hibs: Bursic, Miller, Levitt, Amos, Hyuk Q, Obita, Mariah Welsh, Hoylett and Gale. Your match referee here at Pittodrie, Stephen McLean, and on VAR duties, Don Robertson.
Gordon DL, just quickly before we go, just your, I mean, a word or even a noise to react to the news that in that storm today, Roger Hannah is in Dingwall.
Is that good enough?
That'll cover it. Take it away, Roger.
Was that Anton De Beek I heard in the background there, Gordon, giggling away? Because we've all seen this. Take that up in his dancing video later on. Anyway, oh, Ross County versus St Mirren. It's three straight defeats for the Staggies. 11 goals conceded, Gordon. Doncowie's side are now down in 10th place in the Premiership. They've got the worst goal difference in the league, and to make matters worse, they lost striker Alex Samuel for 3 months with a thigh tear. Add that to the fact the keeper Ross Laidlaw's still out after that injury picked up at Celtic Park recently, and they don't have their troubles to seek. On the plus side for Doncowie, only the top three have managed to beat the Staggies in Dingwall here this season, and they will need to rely on home comforts if they're to survive in the top flight again. They have had three wins and a draw in the last four here against the Buddies, and it would have been four wins but for a dramatic automatic late leveller by Kyosi Olasanya here on their last visit at the end of last season. St Mirren also did their work late to grab a dramatic win in Perth last Saturday as they returned to the familiar territory of the top six. Captain Mark O'Hara missed a stoppage time penalty and injured himself in the process. He misses out today. Roland Dougal, who came on, scored the retaking spot kick and secure a 3-2 win against St Johnson. He comes into the side today. Alec Iacoviti is back in Dingwall and he's been granted his wish of a tussle with his old pal Jordan White. And his impressive performance last week at Perth means Alec Gogic stands his pal, although he's back from a ban, is only on the bench. I'll give you the teams now. Gordon County, they make three changes from the side that lost 3-1 to Hibs at Easter Road last week. Mishi Efeti and strikers Ronan Hale and Jordan White come in for Eli Campbell, James Brown and Alex Samuel, and there's a return to the bench for former St Mirren striker Eamon Brophy. Should it go Jack Hamilton in goal? We think it's a back three. Akil Wright, Scott Allardyce and Casper Lapata. Across the middle, Mishi Efeti, Noah Chilvers, Connor Randall the skipper, Josh Nisbet and George Harmon, and up top Hale and White. The subs are Misa, Leek and Latoury, Sheaf, Greaves and Denham, Telfer, Brophy and Reid. Two changes for St Mirren from that win in Perth. Ocean Smith and Roland Idowu come in for the injured O'Hara and Connor McMenamin, and Olasanya and Declan John also drop out of Stephen Robinson's injury hit squad. So that means Celery Balcombe in goal. The back three is a stand-in skipper Marcus Fraser with Alec Iacoviti and Richard Taylor. Across the middle, Elvis Pomono, Killian Phillips, Ocean Smith and Scott Tander, with Roland Idowu and Greg Kelty either side of Mikael Mandron. On the bench, Urminski, Kenny and Penman, Gogic, Boyd Munce and Deniran, Scott Mooney and a younger. The ref is Ian Sneddon, the VAR is Greg Aiken, and let's hope they have a quieter day than Chris Graham and David Dickinson had last night.
Well, I think we might get to them, don't you worry about that. Actually, during the report there from Roger Hannah, not to say that Gordon Dale wasn't listening, but he used the opportunity, Roger, to show him, because he hadn't seen the video of himself dancing at the Christmas party that some unruly member of staff has uploaded to their Instagram. And he was aghast at his own, like, so you don't remember that, presumably?
I don't remember that bit, no. And I've got to say I'm quite embarrassed about my performance.
I think the comparison to Anton De Beck is way off the mark. And if Mr. De Beck's lawyers are listening, we anticipate your letter.
It was funny, he looked genuinely stunned when I was showing the footage of himself.
His face went red.
I'd have thought he was the type of guy that had done a lot of things that he just regretted and then he just brush over them.
Dancing, the least he's worries.
I certainly do. Look, it's a Christmas party. You go to enjoy yourself. Let your hair down. You're a 62-year-old man. You know what I mean? Just go on with it. Make a fool of yourself.
It was Thursday night. In the light of being 62, are you still...
I'm still suffering.
Feeling the effects of...
I feel like 72 as we speak. I'm still suffering after Thursday night.
I can see that because your eyes are shut, but thanks for Roger Hannah's. Please drink responsibly and all that sort of stuff. Let's go to the Championship. A man who was there as well, but had ducked out a long time before Gordon Dale's dancing. David Friel is watching Falkirk Hamilton.
I was fresh as a daisy, Gordon, ducked out early, as you said, up the road. Yeah, this is going to be a real interesting one, huge game for Falkirk. The Championship's starting to get really, really interesting. Falkirk only 2 points ahead of Livingston at the top, and obviously trying to bounce back from that 5-2 defeat at Ayr United last weekend. We'll go on to VAR and everything later. There's no doubt Luke Graham's controversial red card last weekend played a big part in that defeat. Falkirk leading 1-0 at the time. John McGlynn is convinced they would have won the game. They never coped at all, going down to 10 men. It was actually at John McGlynn's press conference this week, and he called David Dickinson's decision to send off Luke Graham a miscarriage of justice. It's probably a bit extreme. I think he took it a bit too far, John, but he was happy that they did win their appeal. Luke Graham is free to play today, and Falkirk are actually aiming to finish the calendar year unbeaten in the league at home. You have to go way back to April 2023 for the last time they lost a league game here. And with a full squad to choose from for the first time this season, I'm expecting a big Falkirk reaction. Ackies were promoted alongside Falkirk last season, but they've been up and down on the return to the Championship. John Rankin's side sits 7th just now. They had a really good 2-1 win over Queen's Park last weekend, but they know this will be a tough one. They do have threats, they do have a lot of experience. Ollie Shaw, he's the Championship's top goalscorer. He's got 12 goals in 22 games in all competitions. He'll be a real threat, and as I said, they've got a lot of experience in their team, guys like Sean McGinty and Barry Maguire. However, Falkirk have won the last 4 meetings between the teams, and as I said, you know, strong favourites to win again today. John McGlynn's made just one change. He's got Luke Graham back in. He's got Leon McCann in for Sean Mackey at left back. So Falkirk going to line up Nicky Hogarth in goals, Keelan Adams, Luke Graham, Liam Henderson and Leon McCann. Brad Spencer will anchor the midfield, and then it's basically a front five. Aidan Nesbitt, Calvin Miller, Alfredo Aguiman, Ross McKeever and Ethan Ross will all just float about. McKeever will lead the line. Subs for Falkirk are Hayward, Yates, Donaldson, Morrison, McKenna, Tate, Mackey, McCafferty and McCrone. Asaraki's just one change. Jackson Longridge is out injured. Connor Smith comes in. So it's Charlie Albison in goals. Regan Tomalty, Sean McGinty, looks like Barry Maguire, Stephen Hendry make up the defence. Connor Smith, Scott Martin, Kyle McDonald in midfield, with Stephen Bradley, Ollie Shaw and Stuart McKinstry in attack. Subs for Ackies are Linus Henderson, O'Hara, Barjonas, Todorov, Williamson, O'Connor, Morgan and Syme. The referee at the Falkirk Stadium is Callum Scott.
Looking forward to it. The Championship is heating up, as David Friel says. League One's even hotter, if that's such a thing. So plenty of good fixtures to come across Scotland today. Now, at this stage on a Saturday, we tend to look back on some of the week's biggest talking points. I don't even need to say any more. We'll be back.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel is here in body, if not in mind, after the Christmas shenanigans this week. But we're giving it a good go because the festive fixtures are here. They come thick and fast. We've got plenty to look forward to, and we're looking forward to them this afternoon. We've already given you team news from our four featured matches, and we will do plenty more build-up as the day progresses. Now, usually at this stage on a Saturday, we take a look back at some of the week's biggest talking points. Usually there's maybe one or two or three to consider, and usually I've got a bit of appetite left for it, I have to say, Hugh. But yeah. I think I'm nearly done. I think I'm nearly saturated. But if you want to, if we could collectively draw a line under it, you can have the first say.
Well, I think we have to draw a line under it because we're in danger of getting silly over this now. It was a decision that should have been taken by the two VAR officials, Alan Muir and Frank Connor, but as Willie Collum has pointed out, it wasn't a hard decision to make and they've made a mess of it. However, there's a bigger problem here, I think, because the general standard of refereeing, last night we had another howler at Fir Park, we've got John McGlynn talking about miscarriages of justice. We've got a problem trying to bring up the standard of the referees and VAR officials that we have. However, with regard to the cup final, it's over and done with. And the one thing that comes back to me now, if Rangers got the penalty, they weren't awarded a goal. They should have been awarded a penalty. So you're presupposing in the first instance that they score from the penalty. You're also presupposing that's the last goal of the game. It's been made out to be that the non-award of the penalty took the cup out of Rangers' hands. That's supposition, because it was the award of a penalty, not a goal. So have to let it go and move on.
Yeah, in terms of, like we said, trying to draw a line under it or trying to say something new on the matter, David Friel, we've not heard from you midweek. What have you made of the way this has played out then? I don't think we need to analyse the actual incident itself again, because we've done it about 900 times. But the way it's kind of played out and where we sit today.
Yeah, look, it's been a textbook week in terms of just the timeline of events. To me, Gordon, the only one that can come out of this whole thing with his head held high is Willie Collum, because I think he was so honest, so transparent, probably maybe too honest in terms of what he said about his own officials, but he pulled no punches. I thought he was really, really good in terms of how he explained it. Obviously throws up a lot of questions. I think it was you that used the phrase, you know, not enough care and attention. I think that is basically what that decision comes down to. But as you touched on there, Gordon, I think there's a bigger issue just now in terms of, for whatever reason, Scottish referees are going through a really, really bad time. We saw it last night. Actually dies in the Queen's Park Wraith game last night as well. And I don't know if you've seen Wraith's second goal, Aidan Connolly. I mean, the ball is clearly out of play, probably twice in the play on. Aidan Connolly after the game actually said, yeah, the ball was out. And that never gets spotted as well. Across the board, I think standards have to improve. Look, I'm hoping this is just a bad period of form like players and managers have as well. But I think Willie Collum's got a real problem just now in terms of his referees are hanging him out to dry.
Yeah, I know this might not be popular, Roger, with fans who are interested in the Championship last night, but I still feel like I can forgive or understand that at speed, with one set of eyes, somebody thinks a ball's in when it's not, or thinks it's out when it's in, and all that sort of stuff. I think that is inevitable. It just feels like last night at Fir Park must be the worst timing for Willie Collum, because it is completely different, entirely different from the cup final, but it just comes so soon. And I know every team feels aggrieved at mistakes that have gone against them, and they should, and will keep doing that forever. But that Dan Casey red card probably goes into that bracket, doesn't it? You know, I've seen people talking about like the worst decision they've seen all year or whatever. It probably stands above some of the other mistakes we've seen.
Yeah, the Stuart Kettlewell say it was in his top three of all time, I think, last night. Listen, I know the point you make about the Championship, and last night the Aidan Connolly goal, taken in isolation, I would agree with you, but it's a sort of drip, drip, drip effect at the minute with referees and VAR officials and linesmen at Hampden. I do feel sorry for Willie Collum, who's trying to do the job to the best of his ability and is being desperately let down by his men in the field. The decision from Chris Graham last night is staggering. Now, when he flashes the red card, everyone in the country thinks, well, he's going to go to the screen here and he's going to reverse the decision, and it's fair enough. He's clearly not had a proper look at it. To then be directed to that pitch side monitor by the VAR, David Dickinson, and to actually double down on his original decision is breathtaking. The Kilmarnock bench told the Motherwell bench, never a red card. Derek McInnes told the Nation on TV afterwards, it's never a red card. And I'll now be fascinated to see how the SFA deal with it when the inevitable Motherwell appeal goes in, because it's never a red card. And on the same night as Aidan Connolly goal, in the same week as the Alan Muir Frank Connor non-award of the penalty and the non-award of the Motherwell penalty and the, to quote John McGlynn, miscarriage of justice with Luke Graham, it's a drip, drip, drip effect that Willie Collum needs somehow to tackle, and he needs the assistance of Ian Maxwell and Michael Moraney as well, because it's not good enough for the two men above Willie Collum to just laugh these things off.
I think at the core that's all true, Gordon. It does still feel like there are degrees of mistake. You know, there are some that genuinely are inexplicable, and the Championship has an extra layer of difficulty because there is no VAR. What is interesting about Fir Park and Hampden is that they played out very differently. Hampden's a VAR failure. Everyone's giving John Beaton no criticism, really, because how are you supposed to stop it? VAR should have intervened and it didn't. The crazy thing about last night, VAR gives the chance, and let's all remind ourselves of the worldwide sort of feeling on VAR. When the ref goes to the monitor, the whole psychology of it is 99% of the time you expect them to overturn their decision. So taking all that into account, very tough to try and really get inside Chris Graham's head, I suppose.
Yeah. Nobody will understand that. Nobody will understand his decision, especially when he's got the right to go over and have a look at it a few times, and you're thinking, right, this has got to be overturned. It was two yellow cards, move on, everybody's happy.
If that, by the way.
Yeah, the worst, Gordon. But he's made that massive decision. Now, I've got to be honest, I thought the referee standard had been getting better. Right, I think VAR, we've taken our time to get used to it. I thought it was helping. I thought our standards were getting better. We were talking about football rather than referees. And then all of a sudden, you get this sort of a week. And we're hoping that, you know, and I think we've got the right man at the helm. I think Willie Colm will do a terrific job. I think he's doing his very, very best. But as the boys said there, he cannot be let down by his referees and bad, bad decisions, because it does cost you.
He stood down Frank Connor and Alan Muir very, very quickly. He had them stood down before he even went public with his explanation of what should have happened. We're going to create trouble for ourselves here, and Willie will have the brunt of it, because people are going to say of Chris Graham, well, are you going to stand him down now?
And that's kind of the point I was trying to get at. I think we have to not take it too far and suggest that every time there's a mistake, there are degrees of mistake.
Yeah.
You know, and what you might see as a mistake, other people might not, and Willie Collum might. I think we need to be careful not to lump it all in together and understand that if the mistake is that bad, then that's when you're in referee, get stood down territory or whatever. But of all these incidents that we've just rhymed off, you stand all those refs down, the games won't take place next week.
Correct. But it all becomes part of the whole, though, that there has been a drop in standards, and it's Willie's job to look after the referees. And I don't know how you look all of the referees in the eye and say, next weekend you must be better, because life's not like that.
Exactly.
The referee at Ibrox today has got no chance. You know, anything that goes against Rangers will be seen in an unfair light.
And will be lumped into that same category that we've spoken about, even though, as you say, that's not how life works.
Yeah.
So we're in a difficult spot, Mark, because take the Hampden one, Willie Collins speaking about, just little tweaks you can make, maybe a different language, ask open questions of each other, certainly take your time first and foremost. How do you get the right decision at Fir Park last night, other than just going to judge that differently? Do you know what I mean? Like, what practical steps?
Well, when, none of us are sure what Chris Graham saw or thought he saw. And this is where I always say I think referees should be accountable. And I know you've disagreed sometimes by actually being interviewed. Like, every player is, from a young age to an older age player, to coaches who are under pressure as well. It would just clear things up.
That's what, you interview the VARs as well, though? Because what's John Beaton going to say if he's interviewed at Hampden last week?
Just throw VAR under the bus.
Just ask the VAR. Last night, we are
trying to understand why this top official in our country can see that as a red card, and that could have cost.
That works last night, but like I say, now we've got VAR, so in many ways, half the time the blame goes to them.
Of course, and that's where it should lie on Sunday's game. I've got to agree, was it Roger says or David, that Willie Colm, I thought it's been really impressive throughout this week, how he's responded, how he wants to push standards up. But I think there should be consequences for referees, and I get what you are saying. Well, where are they going to come from? You'll need to promote. Surely these referees have got to have genuine competition. It just can't be like a boys club where they go from one mistake to the next.
The alternative is, you imagine, if you think this group is bad currently, you want them replaced by even less experienced. That could be. You'll know, being involved in under-18s football, I've been in those leagues.
You speak
to people in the Lowland League and in League Two and ask if they think there are a crop of referees they are ready to go and take Premiership games, and you'll only hear one answer.
Possibly. But so what, are we just stuck with this group?
No, like I said, though, it becomes about doing it at the right time. Once the mistakes become either too often or a particularly severe level, but as Hugh says, this weekend, get your heads around it. There will be mistakes made this afternoon, and every time a mistake's made, you can't stand down a referee. We need to find the sort of the really bad ones, essentially.
We're not far away from someone suggesting that VAR has in fact turned out to be a waste of time.
I think lots
and
of
money.
People suggest that.
They're unhappy with it. It's going to be a difficult second half of the season for Willie Collum and all of the officials, because we've now had penalty gate at Hampden, and we are in a position where people are not letting it go. You know, from time immemorial, there have been wrong decisions taken in matches involving Celtic and Rangers, and there will be mistakes made probably on January 2 as well.
I do wonder if world football is at any stage thinking about how VAR can be tweaked, because that's the strange thing about last night. It's not really that's not a VAR problem last night. VAR, in an alternative universe, the next time Willie Collum does his VAR review, that one last night could have been used as an example of VAR working well, where a referee goes over the monitor, overturns it. But generally speaking, and I know we're only interested in our madness, but I think it's been quite a weird week. I don't know if you like. I mean, did you see Donnarumma getting studs clean in the face burst open? Stitches, goalkeeper, I mean, full flush on, no red card. I see them having all sorts of debates and arguments about various incidents in the English Premier League. I wonder if, is there a bigger point where maybe, you know, the whole way VAR works is not worth the hassle? Even though, like I say, last night's probably not an example of that.
Scotland was always the wrong country for VAR.
No, but this is what I'm saying. I know we do that to ourselves, and we love the drama of that. But I'm not convinced that we're any different.
Just the cost
we
it's
like
went
to
into
tell
it,
ourselves that we are.
And the money it's went into it worldwide. You wonder if people would then take a backward step on that and come away from it completely, because there's been so much put into it. Because you take it away, you think it's a waste of time. Probably the next week.
I don't even mean out altogether, because that's another thing.
I think the
human psychology of it is, there's no doubt, we all just ignore all the times that it gets it right. And the number of offside goals that it has fixed, we just ignore it, and we focus on the bad ones. That's what we do. But I don't know, you always hear things about like challenge systems and that sort of stuff, where you can look at what you know, teams can choose what incidents get looked at. I don't know. I don't know if that just creates other problems.
I don't mind that idea, and I think we've spoke about that idea before on here when VAR was getting introduced. But how do you come to the right decision within those challenges? Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. That's what I mean. You're maybe just kicking the can down the road. Right, consider it for now over. I know other shows maybe just come on at the weekend and they have to go and rehash arguments from previous weekends. We've done this all week. Let's focus on the football. Let's talk up the game and we'll go back around the grounds next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
15 minutes until the 3 o'clock kickoffs get underway and they are crackers. Let's go back to Ibrox where Andrew McLean is there. I wonder, Andrew, what the mood will be like inside Ibrox, whether the fans bring that sense of grievance that we've just discussed, although this was us trying to draw a line under it. But some huge occasions recently. You know, you talk about a League Cup final at Hampden and the Tottenham game before that. So a more bread and butter afternoon at Ibrox.
Yeah, more bread and butter, but I think it's maybe the type of fixture that Rangers fans will be more excited for than they would have been 2 or 3 months ago. When you look at the results domestically before that Celtic game, even against the likes of Kilmarnock, against the likes of Ross County, there were those real signs of positivity that things were going in the right direction. So I think Rangers fans will be turning up to Ibrox a lot more positive than they would be in previous times. Certainly it's still taking a bit of time to fill up here today. That might be something to do with the weather. The wind is swirling around inside Ibrox, but the main thing that these supporters will be looking for is just that reaction to the League Cup final. I think a lot of the fans will be happy, you know, in the main, with what they saw from their team, the fact that they were competitive against Celtic, ran them so close. Of course, not winning is the main thing, but they need to show, the players need to show that they've not been affected by that League Cup final defeat. It's about trying to get back to what they were doing just before that against Tottenham, against Nice, in those domestic games that I was talking about, because Rangers weren't conceding goals. I think, what's that, 3 games on the spin in the league that they've not conceded in. It was just the players that had come in, the likes of Danilo, Igoman, Hadji, that have maybe injected a bit more of an exciting atmosphere around the place. So Rangers fans will be hoping that this can be, you know, just back to what they saw before that, and that the team won't be downed by what happened last Sunday.
I expect a tough battle, like they always give. So, yeah, we know we have the wall to break and to see that you don't run into their knife in the transitions. So we need to play a very focused, very good game again with a lot of energy. Like the team is showing the last month better than the month before, and that month better than the month before. So we need to continue having this hunger and desire to become better and to show that.
Looking forward to it. Rangers taking on Dundee. How bad are the conditions, Andrew? Because I do always think that's the thing, that when you're actually there and you realise the impact it has on the football match, but maybe from the outside you overlook these things and believe that people are using it as an excuse.
Yeah, I was just saying to someone on the gantry there that you kind of fear for whether it will affect the quality of football today, because we just saw moments ago an advertising board that's around the pitch actually was blown forward by the wind. A pretty heavy bit of kit was blown forward by the wind. In front of us, there's a lot of celebrations today because it's the 125th anniversary of Ibrox, so there's a few different things going on. There are a lot of young fans that are standing pitch side, they're waving flags, and a lot of them are doing well to be able to even hold on to the flags and not have them fly off into the sky, because it really is, you know, swirling about. There was some rain on earlier, it's cleared up now, the skies are a bit more blue than they were, but you do wonder what sort of effect it will have on the game, because the wind is very, very strong.
A slightly new era at Rangers, of course, Andrew, as well. This will be the first game since Patrick Stewart took over as chief executive, running the day-to-day operations of the club.
Yeah, he is here at Ibrox today. It's his first match day, of course, and Fraser Thornton, the new chairman, as well. And yeah, look, it's been a hectic week. I'm sure that the two of them will be quite glad just to be able to get along to a game of football after a week of what will have been talks and discussions, a lot of those with the Scottish FA, talking with people internally, externally, about a lot of issues that are going on. But they'll want to get along here, they'll want to sense, you know, get a sense for what the fans are feeling. They'll want to see up close the team that they're walking into, and they'll want to hope that they can kick things off with a bit of positivity after what's been a real roller coaster week for everyone connected with the club.
Let's go to Pittodrie. Dave Galloway, what's the local feeling? You're the man with the finger on the pulse there, because as that old cliche, if you want to call it that, or comparison goes, I think Aberdeen fans would have taken this position at the start of the season, but obviously with it starting so well and then tailing off, what's the feeling?
Yeah, there is a realism amongst the Aberdeen support. There have been a few grumbles about the recent run, about the recent results, but I think the vast majority of fans, certainly that I've spoken to and I've seen a lot of reaction on social media, it's a case of, in Jimmy we trust, he's here to do a 3-year plan, it's not going to be done overnight, he's working largely with the same set of players that he was working with, you know, last season, and he's getting a tune out of players that previous managers couldn't. So there is still, you know, the overwhelming majority of fans, they're very optimistic about the way things are heading. The frustration is understandable, though. I spoke earlier about Aberdeen having 2 weeks to put things right in training. Of course, no game last weekend. There is a feeling in the home camp that there have been chaotic endings to matches when the Dons have scored late on, like the 3-3 draw between these two sides at Easter Road not so many weeks ago. The concentration appears to wander sometimes, so it'll be interesting to see if that has been sorted, if that has been ironed out. Hibs, on the other hand, they've looked more of an attacking threat of late, haven't they? But some of their football has also looked a bit chaotic. You know, could composure prove crucial in deciding the outcome today? Certainly, hopefully, we'll get a lot of goals. The previous 3 meetings between Aberdeen and Hibs have produced 14, so it'll be nice if we get served up another goal fest to keep us warm and entertained.
Hibs' situation's incredible. It was under a month ago they had lost, or they had gone winless in 7. They then went to Dens, lost 4-1. And since then, draw with Aberdeen, win at Fir Park, good performance at Celtic Park, and then a win against Ross County. So looking very different from a Hibs perspective, and the other side of the capital having the difficulties at the moment with a derby just around the corner as well. What is not to like? Roger Hanna, this is a battle of Ross County and St Mirren, where I suppose you can look at the differing approaches with regards to Ross County being very good at home and St Mirren perhaps struggling a bit more on the road. Is there a feeling that if Ross County are going to stay in this league, it is the home games like this that will do the business for them?
Oh, without doubt, Gordon. I mean, as we said at the top of the show, only 3 teams to beat them here this season are the top 3, Celtic, Aberdeen and Rangers. They're strong here. Don Cowie wants to make it a fortress, and if they're going to stay up, this is the kind of game that they are going to have to win, because their away form is miserable. I don't think they've won in the top flight away from home in 14 months. They suffered another big defeat at Hibs last week, as you touched upon, so they need points here. But the points are just as priceless for St Mirren. You mentioned in respect to Haberney and there how quickly things turn round, but if St Mirren were to win today and Dundee lost to Ibrox, St Mirren have suddenly got a 5-point cushion in that top 6. And all those early season struggles when they were in Europe, etc., etc., and they had injuries, all of that will be long forgotten, and it will be a very, very good Christmas for Stephen Robinson and these players if they can break a 5-game winless run here in Dingwall.
In our featured championship game, Falkirk Hamilton, it's too early, I think, Dave. Oh, no, sorry, the table's too tight for this to be a decisive day. But if you're Falkirk, are you hoping that Livy and Ayr below you draw with each other perhaps, and there's a real chance for you to increase your lead at the top?
It's certainly, I don't know if it's decisive as you say, Gordon, but it's certainly big. John McGlynn, as well as his miscarriage of justice chat the other day, he was also talking about his targets basically for the season, being pretty open about his point targets, and this is the final game of the second quarter for Falkirk. He wants 20 points per quarter. They're on 38 just now. So if I win today, he was basically saying this will take us to 41. He says if you look at the championship in history, that's really, really good form. If Falkirk can continue that, they'll win this league by a mile. So yeah, he's very focused on himself. Of course he's looking at other results. And I wouldn't say Falkirk have had a blip. They have lost a couple of games, Ayr and Livy, in the last few weeks. But you just look at the home record, you just look at the attackers they've got in their team. They're the top goal scorers in the division. And no wonder when you see, you know, John McGlynn, as I said, he's going all Ozzy Ardiles at Spurs. He's just playing Brad Spencer and everybody else just going attack. So, look, I think they'll win this game today. I think they'll come out with a point to prove after what happened to Ayr. And if Falkirk keep going, I can't see anybody else winning this title, to be fair.
Let's go back to Ibrox, because there's a bit of late drama before the game, and it involves personnel. Andrew McLean is going to bring us right up to speed.
Yeah, still trying to find a bit more information on this, but just been informed that Jack Butland no longer starting for Rangers. It's going to be Liam Kelly that starts in goal today. You've just got to assume that it must have been something that Jack Butland has picked up in the warm-up. We'll find out either as the game goes on or hear from Philip Clement after the game on that. But a change of goal and an interesting one. Liam Kelly, that we've barely seen since he joined Rangers in the summer, really hasn't been given much of a chance. Jack Butland, to, you know, maybe hasn't been the stalwart in goal that he was last season. Maybe some of his performances have been called into question at times this season when they weren't last season, but he's not going to be available for this game. It's going to be Liam Kelly between the sticks.
If there was one player to drop out the Rangers team before kickoff, 5 minutes before, that would be the most dramatic one, you'd have to say.
Well, that's dramatic. It's traumatic for Liam Kelly to be suddenly thrust into the action for the first time this season on a day when Andrew has described a wind so strong it's blowing the advertising hoardings around the place. So it's a disruption that Philippe Clement could have done without, but for Liam Kelly, it's a big moment.
Not played since the 19th of May.
Oh, wow.
Can that work the other way that Hugh mentions, though, where you don't have time to think about it? You know, if he was making his Rangers debut and knew yesterday, and then maybe has a sleepless night and overthinks it, maybe. Does that just depend on the person?
Yeah, it depends on the person he is. But look, he's played plenty games at this level. But it's a big one for him today. And the other side, if you're Tony Dock, what are you telling your team? You know, test the goalkeeper right away, because he's going to be feeling the pressure.
Obviously Butland would be a big loss, but Kelly's a Scotland international. It's not like he's a young kid getting out there for the first time. Yes, he's not had a lot of game time. He's got to embrace this. You wait for your chance. He's got to go out there and embrace this. The thing about it, if you look at that Rangers defence, your two centre halves are probably not your two strongest centre halves, because I think if Suter was fit, it'd be Suter and Balogun. I think if they were playing a big game, that'd be the two centre backs. So the back four and the goalkeeper has changed, so it'll be interesting to see what Dundee do.
And you know the way this city works, Hugh. Forget this afternoon. Rangers fans are just going, do you think he'll be fit for the 2nd of January?
Correct. Right away. Because it's clearly happened in the warm-up. And Philippe Clement will bring us up to speed after the game. But I really can't find it in myself to say, oh, this will make a big difference. I still think Rangers will win comfortably.
Okay, well, we'll see. So a changing goal for Rangers. Liam Kelly will make his debut 11 and a half years after first signing for the club. Had to wait.
That's called patience.
It certainly is. What a patient man. He'll get his chance this afternoon, and the kickoffs around the country are coming next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here. We've got big games up and down the country, up and down the divisions. Of course, a lot of focus on the game at Ibrox, with Rangers taking on Dundee. A quick reminder of that last breaking news we brought you is that Jack Butland appears to have been injured in the warm-up, and Liam Kelly makes his Rangers debut. You have three Premiership matches. You have one Championship match in our featured list. So what does the Saturday ACA look like? Let's see if we can get some joy before Christmas.
Rangers comfortable winners over Dundee. Aberdeen, only one defeat at Pittodrie so far this season, and Hibs only one win on the road so far this season. So for me, Aberdeen to continue their good record at home, and St Mirren to win away at Ross County, with Falkirk winners at the Falkirk Stadium against Hamilton.
I've got exactly the same as you. Aberdeen home win, Rangers home win, St Mirren away win.
I'll get one change. I'll go Ross County, St Mirren draw.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Planning your holiday? Get essential health advice and medication before you travel.
So there we are. We are up and running. I love this time of year. The games come every couple of days, which means the talking points, the drama is swirling around. You've got your Christmas dinner and your Christmas presents to look forward to after this round of fixtures. And then we will get straight back to it on Boxing Day before New Year. And then you know what, into January as well. Derby Day in a few different cities across the country. So let's strap ourselves in for this afternoon. The guys have made their predictions. They will probably be wrong, and you can stay in touch all afternoon on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Later on, as is tradition here, I'll give you the nod and you can phone us to let us know what you've made of today's action. Of course, Celtic still have to respond as well tomorrow to whatever happens today. They go to Tannadice, but for the meantime, we're up and running with our three featured matches and our championship game as well. It should be a brilliant period coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. But it starts with one or two imperatives. It is imperative that Rangers win today and do not concede further ground to Celtic. It's imperative that Aberdeen win today, I think, because on the day when they are overtaken by Rangers, it's reset time for the Aberdeen fans and Jimmy Tielan. And it's imperative that Ross County end the sequence of defeats, or they're going to be right into this relegation battle. But I don't think they can against St Mirren.
It's quite often the period, this 2 week period, that defines your season, where you end up. And obviously Celtic are flying out in top at the minute, but for Rangers, for Aberdeen, for the Hibs and Hearts at the bottom end of the tables, well, Hibs can actually move up level with Kilmarnock with a win today. It quite often puts you where you probably finish at the end of the season. So that's why the Christmas and New Year period is so important for teams. Utilise your squad. This is where players start picking up wee injuries and a wee bit of fatigue sets in, and you can rotate if you've got a big enough squad.
Interesting to hear Brendan Rodgers speak about a midweek meeting in Dublin with Dermot Desmond in the company of Michael Nicholson, the chief exec, and Chris Mackay, finance director, because clearly there's another wave of spending coming up, I think, from Celtic, and it's a real chastening thought for all at Ibrox and elsewhere.
Rangers fans already wasting no time greeting the SFA with some songs from the stands,
just wishing them a happy Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to all at the SFA, I think it was, something along those lines.
Yeah, you're just talking there, Hugh, about...
Can I just interrupt you, sorry, for some... I think you will enjoy this because it involves a former club of yours. I've just stared at this for about a minute there, refreshed it, checked the date, just making sure I've got the picture clear in my head, because I'm that surprised. Neil Collins is now no longer the Raith Rovers manager.
What?
As in, the guy that was just appointed Raith Rovers manager is now not the Raith Rovers manager.
What is he?
So they've issued a statement to say...
Can't have sacked him, he won last night.
Sacramento Republic, no offence, right, but I'd be choosing California over Kirkcaldy, have activated the financial release clause in Neil Collins' contract, and as a result, he will depart the club with immediate effect.
That's incredible.
Yeah. One weekend with you. That was that weekend. You had him a couple of weeks ago. He's away. He's leaving the country.
I'm getting out of here. I'm not going to hang about and see this guy coming back.
What's
up.
What's he been there for? 6 weeks? 8 weeks? No. A wee bit longer than that, maybe?
Start of September.
Because it took so long to actually appoint him. That's a strange one.
3.5 months.
What clause is this?
Well, that's just to say that if a club comes and I'm plucking this figure out of absolutely nowhere, but if a club pays 75 grand, then he goes, that's it, that's the clause in his contract. So you might say they could have protected themselves a bit better than
but
that.
Wait, what is it? It'd be interesting to see what he's done in that period for Raith Rovers. That, you know, who is it? Sacramento? Whoever have a... That's our man.
Republic. Well, he's been over in America.
He's been over,
hasn't he?
That's a strange one. Odd one. But a good job up for grabs then.
Well, he leaves with a good victory.
It's about time. This could be your return to the dugout.
Big return.
No, don't.
Get the Puma Kings looked out. The baggy trackies.
baggy trackies.
Those big Umbro canvas training jumpers with the collar.
The collar.
This is your time.
I like
this. This is your time
shirt.
To shine.
Yeah.
Whatever you think of him.
At least on an interim basis, though, surely, the Dazzler.
He couldn't do any worse, because Raith are bang average. They're mid-table. Not going to be affected by relegation concerns, and certainly not going to be involved in the promotion.
You don't think so? You don't think they can get up to fourth?
Yeah, it's tight enough, isn't it?
Yeah. They're only 4 points behind.
What a season, though. What a season. Bin Ian Murray after one league game. Take a month to get the next guy in, and he leaves before Christmas.
Strange club.
That's the way Hearts are going.
That is incredible.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? I was shocked by that news there, but obviously you can understand it. It'll be interesting to see who they get in.
Get your name in.
We'll do it for you. We'll talk you up.
No, thank you. I've had my time in Kirkcaldy.
Kirkcaldy's had its time with you. Yes, yeah. I think more crucially.
I think that's probably right.
A few skeletons.
Oh, I couldn't go back up there.
Anyway, a bit of breaking news for you on a Saturday afternoon. We've been spoiled rotten. We had Jack Butland injured just before kick-off. Liam Kelly taking his place. And then Raith Rovers announcing that they are looking for a new manager already. Sliding challenge on Diamandé in the box. Fans got a bit excited. He's not claiming too much. That is what we need at Rangers. Just a bit of penalty drama, nice and early on.
Was his shirt inside?
Just to get everyone going. Let's see how long we can stay away from it. Rangers 0, Dundee 0 at the moment. It is Matthew McDermott, the man in the middle at Ibrox today. Hugh, let's do this while we can.
Okay.
If you are ready, of course.
Yep.
Half teaser. With the ScottishSun.co.uk/football. For the best football news and opinion online.
So, in the spirit of Christmas, since 2011, six players have played for Scotland who have Chris in their name. It can be their Christian name, it can be their surname, it can be part of their Christian name, it can be part of their surname, but Chris, C-H-R-I-S, is in the name of six players who have played for Scotland since 2011. Who are they?
Go. Let's do it. At Clyde SSB, it is a race. You need one tweet with all the correct answers and quicker than everyone else. That's how you win. But don't get me wrong, we want as many of you to take part as possible. So if you even want to throw a name or two in there, you can absolutely do that as well. Players that have played for Scotland's men's team since 2011 and they've just got Chris somewhere in their name.
They don't need to be Scottish. Is that what you said?
Well, it's going to be tough to play for Scotland if they've not. If they're not Scottish.
Yeah, but do you know what I'm thinking
about
here?
This one?
The centre forward one.
If he played for Scotland, that's fine.
Yeah.
What on earth?
You having that one?
Yeah.
Ah, it's a belt, isn't it? The bottom one.
I'll decide. Lovely.
Yeah.
He's got the question.
Good working.
Okay, we'll get back to it at Clyde SSB.
Yeah. Actually, I was originally thinking, right? He's probably never lived in Scotland.
That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you reside.
His address.
Yeah, postcode. That was a cracker.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the answers on this. So at Clyde SSB, fire us some tweets. Let us know what you're thinking. Some early goals down south. Newcastle led Ipswich within the first minute. Not so many in Scotland. Clyde 1-4-0. Do you know what I was thinking? We never, after we spent months talking about it, we didn't commit to you two.
I know.
Going for a night out based on where the first goal in Scotland was. Here's one for you though.
I know where I'm going for my night out.
See
tonight.
If it's Clyde that score.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
Here, upstairs. This counts as Clyde.
No, but like, they play in Hamilton, they used to play in Cumbernauld.
Go to Hamilton. I'm not going out again.
He's done.
I've hung up my dancing shoe. They're completely.
You really, really, you're not feeling fit after the Clyde One Christmas party.
I missed it. I would have been desperate to have seen you in action.
He's talking about a year of abstinence.
Oh, from January.
Giving
up what?
Drinking.
Oh, alright, that okay.
Yeah.
He'd manage that, maybe.
It's got his big changes.
Really
next
catching
year.
Up with you.
I'm too old for it. I just can't handle it.
What are you feeling right now?
Oh, mate. you're not idea.
Just tired.
Please drink responsibly. I can't stress that enough. What I would say
just
is.
Just looking at that clock.
What I would say is that we are used to your ways, but I enjoyed watching Marvin Bartley watching you. No, if you know what I mean.
Had a good laugh.
Mark taken aback, was he?
Oh, that certainly was, yeah.
Magnificent.
That would be a fair way of...
You're always good form in Christmas nights out.
A fair way of describing it. I don't think you offended as many people this year.
As I normally do.
So I think that's a win.
I like when you offend people.
Yeah.
And you don't realise you're doing it.
No, I don't think... I think you were...
Do you know something? That's very true, right? Yeah. Because I think they're just got to take it the same way as I'm... Giving it out.
No.
Some people don't see the funny side of maybe saying, look,
you've put on a few pounds.
You're licking la wee turkey there.
I could be wrong, but I think you.
People don't like that.
It's funny that, isn't it? I don't think you offended anyone. I think you're fine. I've got your back, don't you worry. Rangers 0, Dundee 0, just over 9 minutes gone there. Liam Kelly has not had much to do other than a couple of kicks from back, which of course, I know it. It's clearly Jack Butland's jersey, but it's going to be interesting to see, Mark, because if Liam Kelly has one strength that's supposed to be really standout, it is his kicking. Generally speaking, if you're Rangers and you're at home to Dundee, it might actually be more about what you do with the ball at your feet rather than the saves that you make.
Perhaps he might not have a lot of action in and around his box, but it'll be an option to certainly start the play. And you know, it's something that I think the other side of the city, Schmeichel, certainly improved Celtic's back line with. It's something that Rangers have maybe been missing. So he can add to that. But there's no doubt, like, if Butland is anywhere near fit, he will play come January 2nd. Sure. Even if Liam Kelly has an absolute worldie today, it's just unfortunate position goalkeepers are in.
Amazing how important it's become in the game, what goalkeepers can do with their feet. Fraser Forster, midweek for Spurs, sold two goals because he's dithering with the ball at his feet.
I heard a whisper, I don't know how true this is, and it's not a hugely serious point. Philippe Clement can contradict it if he wants. I thought that Liam Kelly was maybe meant to play the first League Cup game. Is that St John'son? Yeah, because it's Hamden. You know they sometimes do that.
Yeah,
and then was it that midweek Rangers lost to Dynamo Kiev?
Yeah,
and then it sort of wouldn't have felt right, if that makes sense. And then from there, obviously Jack Butland's just stayed in. I could be entirely wrong, but that is what I was led to believe at the time. So. He's got his debut finally this afternoon. Great chance for Ethan Ross. Sean McGinty blocks it with a tackle. He's injured in the process. So league leaders Falkirk trying to take the lead.
You just wonder if obviously weather conditions got to play a big part in the entertainment.
It's
been terrible all morning.
But you know, you simply have to get by. We'll never see conditions worse than they were on the night that Celtic played Aberdeen at Pittodrie. And that was another night when,
but it did affect the game, though, you would have to say.
Yeah, but you know, you have to find a way, as Celtic did.
Well, there's a great block from Rocky Bashiri. It looked like a certain goal from Esther Sokler, who of course scored the goal of the month when these sides met at Easter Road, an overhead kick. He was only a few yards out as well, Keskinen with the cross, but a good block by Rocky.
Well, Hibs, interesting what's happening at Hearts. You know, if Hibs could get a win today, they'd take a 5-point lead over Hearts, and that puts them under real pressure tomorrow going into the game.
I want to know what's going on with you and Hearts.
Yeah,
because you famously are hopeless at predicting.
Correct.
Pretty much everything.
Yep.
In the summer, I might stress, before a ball was kicked, Hearts, who finished third last season comfortably, had the player of the year in their ranks, qualified for Europe, you predicted in the summer that Stephen Naismith would be sacked by Christmas.
Yep.
We all thought you were havering, and of course it turned out to be true. Then weeks ago you were expressing your concerns about Neil Critchley, and again I thought, Hugh, give it a rest, you're going in far too early, and you might even be right again. What is the connection with you and the psychology of Tynecastle?
I'm not too sure, because you say I can't get anything else right, but I'll make this prediction. Neil Critchley won't see out the season.
Oh, he's gone. He's gone in.
Oh, right. That's a bit much.
He's gone in. Okay. Not even had the chance to sign any players yet, though. I take. By the way, I know what you're going to say, and I wouldn't dream of defending the results recently, but is it sustainable to have managers who are not allowed to sign their own players?
I question the mechanics of bringing him to the club in the first place. His background tells you that he's unsuccessful in management.
Algorithms, Hugh. It's all about algorithms. Figure this one out. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Well, Hearts fans might be celebrating in a roundabout way, because Hibs are behind. Aberdeen 1, Hibs 0, and it is Tope Keskinen on 14 minutes. It was a great run down the left. He cut inside, he found the bottom corner. He might have the worst tattoo in Scottish football, but he has scored for Aberdeen.
I think he's dead too.
Oh, how can you? We spoke about this. Wayne Rooney with a fishing rod.
Oh, so is.
He's a flying machine, the boy. I think he's been impressive since.
Fly fishing.
Yeah, very good.
But it's important for Jimmy Tielan, because, as I say, when or if the day comes when the Rangers leapfrog Aberdeen, then the reset button is pressed and people review what Jimmy Tielan has done. Came in on a wave of optimism. He was the new big thing, and then it all started to go wrong, and it included a 6-0 defeat to Celtic in the semi-final of the Premier Sports Cup. So he needs to maintain his position in second place in the league table. Or
right now, I know what you're saying, Hugh, that it was something like 2 out of 15 points, but right now they're winning the game. You would, if you're Aberdeen, you're biting your hand off at
for sitting in second just now.
Of course,
I don't think they'll eventually finish there. I think obviously they will not split the big two, but I just think he's doing a terrific job, and he's one of these managers that, he's the kind of manager I trust going into the transfer market and spending your money, because I think he's got a real eye for a player.
Well, listen, if last month's meeting of these sides is anything to go by, there's a lot of mileage left, so we'll leave room for more drama. But it is Aberdeen who take the lead through Topi Keskinen, so it's Aberdeen 1 Hibs 0. It is our first and only goal in the Scottish Premiership this afternoon. Nothing between Ross County and St Mirren, and maybe more interestingly for the majority of you listening, Rangers Dundee with no real talking points as yet, Gordon. It's extremely early. We're not going to go all Hugh Keevans and slag Rangers because they've not scored inside 15 minutes. But not a particularly fast start, you wouldn't say.
No, and that's where a manager comes under a little bit of pressure. I think since, for instance, the Thursday night game against Spurs, they were excellent football. I think at times you played some real good football against Celtic at Hampden as well, Gordon. So you're starting to see the shape of the team coming together. And I'm sure everybody along Ibrox this afternoon is looking for that, you know, the win first and foremost, but a bit of entertainment, especially on a cold, windy day at Ibrox. You're looking for a spark. You're looking for the players to, you know, get you off your feet and get you excited. So it's up to Rangers to go and do that.
And a commemorative strip being worn today, isn't it, for the anniversary, yep, of Ibrox, so the strip to match as well. Wonder how many times you've been to Ibrox in your working career, Hughie. I don't know if such documentation exists, but there you go. Over the 125 years, you've been alive for most of them.
I remember the first time.
Which was?
I thought I'd went to Ibrox.
I don't know why I remember it, but it was Rangers 3, Air United 0. That was my first working day as a journalist.
So what sort of
Ibrox
year are we talking there?
1970.
Right. Can you remember anything else about the game?
Who scored?
I think Cutty Young might have scored.
Cutty Young was brilliant. I love Cutty Young. I grew up wanting to be Cutty Young, yeah, down the left wing.
17th of January?
Cutty Young, yeah.
17th of January 1970?
That's my. I started on the 5th of January.
Well, there you go. No, Colin Steen, John Gregg, and Ian McDonald.
Was Cutty Young on the other side? Was that before he joined Rangers?
Bear with me while my research catches up.
Oh, there you are. I don't know why I remember it. But
yeah, would that be, well, there is a number 7 Young for Ayr.
Yeah,
would that be
Quinton Cutty Young.
Yeah,
and he eventually signed for Rangers.
Oh.
So when you're a kid, well, when you're young, and I was young once.
Hold that thought, please.
So it's Cutty. Goal flashes
with M&D Green Pharmacy. Told you, good games when these sides meet. Hibs have equalised, and it's Marvin Bartley's pal, Ellie Yuan. Hope he did some keepy uppies to celebrate. It's Aberdeen 1, Hibs 1, Ellie Yuan with the goal. In fact, it was that night, was it not? That was the night that,
yeah,
it really escalated.
Was that, was that against,
no,
Dundee?
Against Dundee?
No, that's when it started. But is this not when he got,
oh, did
the,
he get man of the match,
man of the match?
Yeah.
And he posed with a old picture of a man of the match trophy and sent it to Marvin, etc.
Put Marvin in his place.
There you go.
Well, David Gray, all of a sudden, you know, it's not exactly a transformation. They haven't turned the corner completely, but now they're not as bad as they were initially when David Gray took over.
Yeah, Martin Boyle setting it up and a tap-in in the end. I'm impressed you remember the first time you went to Ibrox, 1970. Jerry Neef in goal.
Oh, yeah. Jerry Neef.
Kai Johansson, Willie Matheson, John Gregg, Ronnie McKinnon, Dave Smith, Willie Henderson, Andy Penman, Colin Steen, Alec and Ian McDonald.
Yeah, Willie Henderson was quite the character. I always liked Willie. Yeah, see, I'm 20 years old then, and I've started in this profession, and you go to Ibrox and you go to the press box on top of the stand, as it was then, and then you go to Celtic Park and you have to hand in a letter. Now, this is, you know, today, all manner of press freedoms, etc., etc., but you had to hand in a letter to a concierge at the door to ask for permission to come in after the game to talk to Jock Steen.
Right.
Yeah, you had to hand in a letter. And then, of course, Jock Steen came out, and I say, 20 years old, and Jock Steen was an icon. He was I mean, 2 years earlier, he'd won the European Cup. So it was just the thrill of a lifetime. And
who was the manager of Rangers?
It'd be in 1970. Willie Waddle, yeah. I made the mistake
Two real figures of football.
Yeah, I made the mistake.
I used to have a terrible. You used to have to walk by Willie Waddle on the team bus Oh, you just pray they didn't look at you.
I made the mistake of referring to him by his first name, and he looked at me and said, "Did you go to school with me?" And he walked away. And he said, you know, the older guys told me, don't refer to him as Willie. Mr. Waddle, do you?
Mr. Waddle, Mr.
Steve. Yeah,
yeah, by respect.
I'm impressed with you because I actually don't remember. I would have gone in the away end, in a few Motherwell hidings probably. I actually don't know if I do remember the first game I worked there.
Do you remember the first game you played?
Of football?
Yeah. Gordon, can I just break this to you? Everybody remembers the first game they played, apart from you. That's not a difficult question.
What, your professional debut?
I wouldn't know who that was.
You're joking. I think we've
covered this before.
No, I wouldn't have a clue.
I think it was against Forest Mechanics for Dundee United in the Scottish Cup.
Do you win?
Good effort from Yanis Hadji from distance. It's clipped the top of the bar. Rangers are ticking a bit more now. There was a few moments ago a poor clearance landed at the feet of Danilo, shot from the edge of the box, which was a bit weak, and saved by Trevor Carson. So they're starting to make some sort of headway now, but still goalless down the leagues. Cove 1, Alloa 0, Aaron Darge and Morton 1, Dunfermline 0. Morgan Boys with the goal.
It's a big day for your derby today. Is Airdrie eventually going to get a win?
They've been struggling all season, haven't they? 6 points all season. No, I think Thistle will win that
one. You think Thistle will win?
I think so today. I fancy them.
Is it Airdrie though, isn't
it? Yes, it's Airdrie, yeah. Just,
not that that's helping much at the moment, but just, I suppose, gives you the odd edge, you would imagine. So still in the Premiership, Aberdeen's the place to be. 1-1, nothing between Rangers Dundee and Ross County St Mirren. Our featured Championship game is goalless as well, although Ross McKeever's shot has just been saved after good play from Ethan Ross. So still Falkirk 0, Hamilton 0.
You can't have Roger going all the way to Dingwall for a 0-0.
No.
You know, he was on the show last night. This week has been chaos. You were all off and on holiday and all over the place. So we were all over the ship with our scheduling last night with Roger Hanna and Scott Allen. And he said that at full time of Super Scoreboard, he was going to have to race to Fir Park for the second half and then up to Dingwall today.
He loves football, that guy, doesn't he? He just
true
loves
professional.
It.
He has had a tough, tough weekend, I have to say. Annan nil Arbroath 2, Gavin Riley, so they're not hanging around.
Fine Arbroath, top of the table, aren't they?
They are, yes.
Yeah. Have they still got their joint managers?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
David Gold and Colin Hamilton.
That's it.
Scott Allen's Kelty, need to keep an eye on them. They're playing Queen of the South today.
Is he back playing yet?
Yeah, he came off the bench midweek.
Maybe.
Need to check if he's still on the pine, as you call it.
On the pine.
Or if he's got a start this afternoon. Let's check in on that teaser, Hugh, and see how people are faring.
In the spirit of Christmas, since 2011, six players have played for Scotland who have Chris in their name. It might be their Christian name. It might be part of their Christian name. It might be in their surname. But Chris is in there somewhere.
Okay, let's do some wrong answers if we can, just to help people along the way. I can see people giving it a really, really good go. I must confess, I'm impressed. Adam Ryan would like to throw in Chris Iwolumo.
No.
Probably not played in that time frame. Would that be what would rule him out, would you say?
Correct.
Okay, another one. Very popular Scotland player, but probably off on the time frame. Scott Williamson would like to throw in Christian Daly.
Nice.
He's a long way off.
Yeah.
I thought about doing the Bertie Vokes Christian there, and I just decided against it at the last minute. And Mark Anderson has fallen for the crucial spelling mistake here, because Chris Commons,
I told you,
and Chris Boyd begin with a K.
Listen to the question.
Sorry, I didn't hear that bit of the question.
Yep.
Right.
That's the most important bit. Listen to the question.
It's Christmas themed, Christmas, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it has to be the same.
Silly Chris
man.
Kringle, no spelt with a K. Was he? I think he was.
Got a goal for Roger Hanna. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. And it is for the visitors. Not an easy place to go, people say, but Ross County 0, St Mirren 1, and it's Alex Iacoviti. It's another error by Jack Hamilton, who's had a real up and down time since coming into the team when Ross Laidlaw went off at Celtic Park. It's a bit of an error from him, and Alex Iacoviti puts St Mirren in front. Stevie Robinson will be absolutely delighted, I'm sure, and as football often does to you, it's a former Ross County man who's got the goal.
And Don Cowie will also know that there's nothing worse than having a dodgy goalkeeper. when you really can't afford mistakes to be made, and it's another howler.
Just need to be careful now, Ross County, because it started okay. They were sitting about mid-table, and then all of a sudden, just started dropping a few places. Obviously, Hearts playing tomorrow. They could find themselves bottom of the table before long.
Ross County are going to be down there all season, let's be honest about it. You would fancy, can Hearts get out? We say it every single week. You would fancy Hearts with the squad they've got to get out of that, surely.
Well, and I know it's easy said and done, but you would think with the players that they've got.
The atmosphere at Tynecastle tomorrow will be one to look out for, because even Lord Shankland having a little go at the Hearts supporters midweek, he said that after 5 minutes they were on the players' backs and he wasn't quite ready for that.
We all know the drill, Mark. You pay your money, etc, etc. People say that, and I'm always quite a big advocate of that and try and stand up for fans, but there does become a point where it's just counterproductive, isn't it? Like, it clearly is. Like, it's not a good atmosphere. It isn't helping. It is a big European game. Yes, you start poorly, but there's a lot of life left in the match. You need it not to get toxic at that point.
And it's difficult. Fans think it's easy, but it's difficult when everyone's not pulling in the same direction. And I think Shankland's well within his rights as the leader of the group to make that point, that it was toxic at times out there. So the Hearts fans could be doing with getting on side.
So we game for him tomorrow,
a couple of weeks ago.
Huge. Absolutely massive.
I'll tell you what, Hugh, if he lost that one tomorrow, I'd start to be thinking the way you're thinking.
Yeah.
He might be under pressure.
14 games. He's won four of them.
I think the last few have been alarming, though, haven't they? Because remember, we did it. We looked at the first 10, and actually there were no bad results in the 10, because the ones they lost were like Rangers, Celtic, Europe. But since then, and the strange thing is, the first so-called winnable one was the Dundee game, and they won that. But it's the last couple that's got people worried.
Kilmarnock shocked everyone. They were playing 10 men for virtually the whole game, and losing 1-0, and then you follow that up with the most embarrassing result of their entire European history.
I don't love this debate and discourse that comes out, but I know some people do. So is that one of the all-time Scottish football European club result howlers?
I would say so.
You'd have to say so.
You've got 17,000 Hearts fans there, and you know, it's just appalling. And I agree with the Dazzler, you know, if they were to lose to St Johnstone tomorrow, I think it's then crisis time.
The free kick to Rangers, edge of the box. It's that perfect Tavernier area, you know, the slightly left of centre one. There was a foul on Jeffty, so James Tavernier will have the chance. See if James Tavernier had just scored that free kick at Hampden last week. Could have saved us a week of pain, seriously. Yeah. Just stick that in the top corner, James, and everybody can get on with their Christmas. But instead, it went over the bar and the rest, as they say. Anyway, he's got a chance to score against Dundee in this one. About 28 minutes or so gone. For those of you who use Twitter a lot, or X, now that you'll recognise what I'm saying here. So now it doesn't all come through in kind of chronological order. You know, the algorithm will give you something from 20 hours ago or whatever, you know, right at the top of your feed. I just clicked on Twitter to check what was happening, and I was greeted with a video last night. I didn't obviously realise at the time it was last night, of Neil Collins addressing the Wraith fans and saying, "Thanks for your support and enjoy your Christmas shopping tomorrow."
So he was leaving.
He's away. He's gone.
Flight to LA. This see morning. See later.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's incredible.
Kirkcaldy to LA, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good
to
move.
California.
Yeah. Kirkcaldy's good town. Good town, Kirkcaldy.
Andrew McLean had me slightly confused there, because he said, "Wow, off the underside of the bar for James Tavernier." And I thought, yeah, is it like underside of the bar and in or not? And it's not, it bounces out. But just the initial description had me wondering if it had gone over the line, but it has not. It was a very good effort from James Tavernier. He's fairly successful at these, but just not quite good enough.
He's done well to work himself back into the side. He was left out on performances. It was the right decision, I think. But then it's difficult to get back in and, you know, keep up that level of performance. I think he's done well. I know he was getting a bit of stick last week for the goal, but I wouldn't put that down to him. I think that's more to do with Raskin and Balogun. Nowhere near it.
for my Aiden's goal. Oh, not at all. Raskin and Balogun have got to take care of the ball better than that. All credit to Maeda. He was sharp as a tack as normal and got in and, you know, finished it brilliantly for him. But I think the break for Tavernier, taking him out of the team, has done him a lot of good. Sometimes you just need that. You know, you're under severe pressure every week. Everybody's pointing the fingers at you. Just take them out of the firing line. Let them just sit there on the pine and then bring them back in.
You know what's strange with Sterling again? Because Clement was going back to, we need to find a position for him. So he gets in at right back and we're all saying, OK, that's him, he's going to play there. And ever since, he's been moved about and he's at right centre back today again.
When Leon Balogun is presumably fit as well.
Yeah.
Again, is that though a real... Well, Philippe Clement's update yesterday was that John Souter would not play again in December. Now, obviously, the Celtic game comes pretty quickly after December as well, so whether that's part of it, that'd be about managing Leon Balogun. I know they've not played since last week, but after this, you know, going to play twice again before they meet Celtic, is it maybe, you know, Balogun
sits out this one,
plays the next one, sits out the next one, plays.
You'd have to think so. What is he, 36 years old? So it's not easy to play that many games in quick succession. But he was taken off, wasn't he, in the final, and Sterling came on, so it's not as if he played the full extra time, and his legs are still feeling the effects of that. So quite interesting. It's a subject I've spoke about before with Rangers. They keep chopping and changing their back four, and I think you'll struggle to get any level of consistency when you do that. Today the goalkeeper's changed, but there's nothing much you can do. And of course Balogun's out for Sterling.
The Rangers fans, I suppose, will be getting slightly anxious. More than half an hour played, no breakthrough yet, but they have hit the bar twice, and I hear nothing at all of Dundee doing anything. Liam Kelly should be sitting on a deck chair for all we know.
Yeah, not the most strenuous of debuts yet for Liam Kelly. Jack Butland withdrawn just before kick-off, you have to assume an issue picked up in the warm-up. I'm sure the Rangers fans will be very keen to hear what the update is from the manager at full time.
Did that ever happen to you, Mark? You ever get injured in the warm-up?
Injured in the warm-up? No, I think I felt the effects of injuries sometimes and just went ahead and played, maybe came off at half-time when I probably should have come off in the warm-up. But there's always something about it that I didn't like to... You didn't know what to go and say to the manager, but I can't play.
Well, I think you would have worked that one out watching some of your performances.
I think it was the game. Was it the game?
Good save, sorry, from Trevor Carson. Cherney cuts on to his right. It's a low shot across the goal and saved well by the Dundee keeper.
Well, surely the goal is inching closer for Rangers. They've just dominated Dundee, clearly. Matter of time.
I was Dundee United we were playing, and I was struggling with groin injuries, and I got an injection in a couple of hours before.
Hours before?
Aye. Yeah. So it was cortisone. Supposed to numb the kind of area. Did and in the warm-up, night? I was thinking, this, I'm not going to get through here. And I struggled all the half. And I came off at half-time. I think Nakamura might have been the one who scored the chip against Dundee United years and years ago.
Does not sound enjoyable. No.
Injections in the groins. Good.
So Rangers very much the dominant side at Ibrox, and they're getting closer. They hadn't created loads early on, but they've hit the bar now twice. Cherney's produced a good save from Trevor Carson as well. A reminder of your first half teaser, please. Oh, hold on. I've got one of these.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
And it's a goal at Pittodrie, and it's for Hibs. They've turned it around already. It's Aberdeen 1, Hibs 2. And it's been one of the main... He's been one of the main men in recent weeks. It's Nicky Cadden. There was a cross to the back post by Boyle. It's a second assist for him. And there is Nicky Cadden on the volley to make it Aberdeen 1, Hibs 2. 35 gone in the Granite
City. I think I'll take back those comments that have come out with not that long ago. Yeah. I'll retract them.
When did you say, Mark, the last time Aberdeen won a game?
I think it was the 9th of November, maybe 4-1 against Dundee.
So, you know, this could be the day that Rangers overtake them. And at that point, the honeymoon period is over.
because the early, I mean, remember the Aberdeen fans were chanting in the early part of the season about winning the league.
They never believed it though, did they? That's bravado.
Well, whether it's bravado or baloney, you know, the day that Rangers overtake them in the league table is the day when you review the situation. And
I think the only thing that goes on to be a disappointing, truly disappointing season from here is if they don't finish third, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, let's
yeah.
be honest, by May, if they finish third, they'll take that. Oh, we've got a goal in the Championship. It's our big pal of the show, Brian Graham. He scored Airdrie nil, Partick Thistle 1, 37 minutes on the clock. Is that the same minutes as his age?
It will be.
Oh, yeah. He's 37. That. Still going strong, the big guy, isn't he? Still put some noise.
Yep. Speaking of Alan Troughton, who feels like he's about 63, I'm sure he's not, but he's scored again. East 5-2, Spartans nil.
Dick Campbell takes him everywhere.
Ah, you just get players at that level.
Every
don't
club, Dick Campbell will go and sign him.
He is 39, Alan Troughton.
Is he?
Yeah, it's incredible. It's a really good effort. I mean, even this, but it's not like he's just playing bit part. That's his 14th of the season in all competitions at the age of 39.
You get up at 39, you see the weather out there, you're thinking, I need to go up to East Fife and play
to be
football.
View.
What enjoyment is that giving you?
Listen, when you're banging them in, you know the feeling. Some people actually like this sport, you know, that we talk about every night. I know that might surprise you.
Just a job for this guy. That's all it was.
He's functional. Falkirk fans already not happy because the Ackies are time-wasting in their mind. Taking their time with throw-ins, and of course Falkirk would be looking to try and get the advantage before the break, but it's not doing in our featured Championship match. We've seen next to nothing for Liam Kelly to do in goal for Rangers. There was a wide free kick for Dundee. They tried to cross into the box, but it did not come to anything. So still a very quiet debut so far for the former Motherwell man. Last played 19th of May, I think. I presume that was the last day of the season, or one of them. A long time to not play, isn't it?
Because you wonder if he regrets the move.
Oh, no. What? Hold on. Every Thursday, you don't regret that. You got your cash line. I'm quite happy with that move.
For some people, it's about playing football. It's not just about their old mortgage.
But he would have known he wasn't going to play.
When he's going into.
Yeah, he's not going to play over Jack Butland.
I suppose so. But I think in terms of, you know, the professional side, and when he reaches the heights of representing his country, and then the next squad comes around, he's not going to be seen.
It's not easy, but
and when does he actually play games? Because he doesn't play in the B team
games.
There
are moves that you just can't turn down.
Of course,
I think
Is he not playing the? Why would he not play in the B team?
He doesn't play in the B team, does he?
When does he play then?
Doesn't he? They don't play.
That's the gap now. That's what people talk about. You know, the B team goalkeeper will be a youngster.
Mason Munn,
who's on the bench today.
You think he'd get some game time? You can't be sitting there just training and then sitting watching the game.
There's a Sinisalo at Celtic Park, £1 million goalkeeper. No one has seen him at all. Not one thing.
And realistically, now you're looking at, unless there's injury, maybe some sort of post split dead rubber, because, you know, the cup, well, the League Cup's done, in case you hadn't heard.
Yeah.
And the Scottish Cup. Well, maybe the first round of the Scottish Cup when it comes round to remain. But Celtic got Cole Marnock, no? I can't remember who Celtic got in the draw. It's totally dropped out of my head, I think it is. So, I don't know, is that the type of day you would mix it up or not? Remains to be seen.
Do you need to be fit to be a goalkeeper?
Well,
I think nowadays, yes.
Well, why?
But surely you need match time. I mean, the Sinisalo has literally had no game time at all.
They probably get a tougher time in training.
That's what I'm saying.
Than they would. I mean, look at Liam Kelly. If he's in training, small-sided games coming up against, you know, Hadji and Danilo.
And you'll
like
have
that
to do all the shooting drills, won't you? Because the first choice keeper will go away.
And then that nonsense that we see all the time, where a goalie coach throws it to the right and then to the left and then throws it high up.
They take their sort of their little head tennis very seriously.
Oh, they love that.
Because obviously I spend a lot of time up at both Lennox Town and Rangers Training Centre and so on, and the goalies are always out first, and you get to kind of hang around, you film the first 15 minutes, but that usually starts after the team comes out, so you see a bit more of the goalies, and it's always highly competitive head tennis, always, that they should sort of start with.
They should start a competition.
They're good at it as well.
Yeah, and enter a team. the goalies. Just head
goalie
tennis.
Head tennis.
They love it. They love those little games, or a game of two touch or something like that. Yeah, they're a special breed.
Where are we? Yeah, let's just do it, Hugh. Let's round off the teaser in case we get any late drama in the first half.
Okay.
The first half teaser with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
Since 2011, six players have played for Scotland who have Chris in their name. They are Ryan Christie, Chris Cadden, Christoph Berra, Chris Martin, Chris Burke, and Chris Maguire.
Wonderful list. No way you two got Christoph Berra.
We did not.
I was the only one we didn't get.
That the only one?
Yeah.
Good on you. Well, loads of you did, and loads of you took part. A great response. Well done to those who got there first on our festive first half teaser. The third place, the bronze medal, call it what you will, is Donati Michael, Scott McScott in second place, and Celtic FC Trivia. I mean, if your Twitter account's dedicated to trivia, you should be good. So well done. Those are the winners. That's what the podium looks like. And a good who am I a bit later on. Right, two of these I need to tell you about before we go any further this afternoon. So let's do it.
Goal Flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
It's actually in the Championship. Do you know what? And I forgot this is no longer a featured game, because I've got a wee story to tell you. Fraser Wishart was meant to be going to Livy Air and had travel problems. Not that we should laugh at another man's misfortune, but he never made it. So I pressed the goal flash button slightly prematurely there. It is Ayr United that have taken the lead at Livingston, and it is George Oakley. That's a huge goal though in the Championship. Really, really big goal. And Daniel O'Reilly, while we're at it, has made it Airdrie 0, Partick Thistle 2. We're speaking to you before we came on this afternoon because Man City lost again, didn't they?
Yeah, 2-1.
To Aston Villa, 2-1. And we were talking about Pep and how he's probably unsackable, really, currently. And I don't know, you can get away with 50 defeats in a row, who knows. What does it take for Reece McCabe? Cause I'm not saying he shouldn't, but I wonder what it looks like. What would it take, having been so good last season, having been so impressive, having had a change, you know, of squad and personnel issues? What does it take when your stock, it goes from so high to where it's at now?
I'm quite baffled that, you know, so far you're looking at he's into his 18th league game and they've got 6 points. And they don't look like they're going to pick
up. It's only one win though, isn't it?
One win.
And was that the first day of the season, no?
Was that the one that beat Braith?
Something like that. Double check it.
Exactly. Listen, we've been to the club and we know that there's not a lot of patience. Like most clubs, but Airdrie are certainly one of those.
But you'd give more goodwill to Reece McCabe than Mark Wilson, do you know what I mean?
No, I think
just
that's
more lovable.
I had his back, I looked after him, I covered everything up for him. But I've got to say, I don't know, Gordon, the answer to that, because you cannot just keep turning up, losing games, and think you're going to be in the hot seat the following week. Eventually, someone will decide enough is enough. So he needs to try and get something to get him going, because it's just relegation automatically.
The extremes of Scottish football. So Leon McCann fouled Regan. Leon McCann was fouled and Regan Tumulty blasts the ball off of him. No card shown. Did you see there was a red shown in midweek for this?
No.
Or last week?
Was there?
Oh my goodness, why can't I remember? Roger Hanna will remind me, or Andrew McLean, or David Friel. I think it was Forfern maybe. Somebody scored and then the ball just sits, you know, as it does, comes out the net, and somebody, Peterhead, it comes out the net, and somebody, Andy McCarthy, blasts it at the goalkeeper. Straight red card. In the aftermath of the goal.
And that's happened today?
No, last week or midweek. Mm. I can't.
A straight red for that?
Yeah. I mean, it is, by the rules, it is. I think what was strange about that one is probably just like violent conduct. Or something.
Danger
like that.
Opponent.
You're hitting them with a ball though, you know. You're
proper blasting at them deliberately.
What happens if it gets you right in the nose?
The only thing is, I'll show you the footage. I'm not convinced he meant it. That one, I'm really not sure he did.
But I don't know where he took a
chance. He took a chance. But if you were lying on the ground, just as an example, and I full power blasted the ball right at you, you don't think I should be sent off for that?
I think you should be applauded.
So after the whistles went,
goal. Yeah. It's a goal.
Yeah, it's a goal. Okay.
So the goalie's like dived out the way.
So I'm talking about if that happened.
No.
In the game, you can't then.
No, you wouldn't be able to
the
prove
same
that.
Distance, the same power, and the you couldn't.
No, you wouldn't be able to police that. But I think once the ball's not in play, you're probably in trouble.
I think if you're at Ibrox, you're looking for a wee spark before half time, Hugh. Yeah, would you not say?
Yeah, I mean, it's all very well saying you hit the bar twice and Trevor Carson's had another good save from Vasilav Cherny, but no goals, and that's all the fans are interested in.
Half time in Dingwall, Roger Hannah.
Half time, Ross County Nelson Mirren 1, and on the eve of this game, Gordon, Big Alec Iacoviti was talking about coming back up to Dingwall so he could smash his old pal Jordan White. Well, I don't think many people thought he'd smash the only goal of the first half to give the buddies the advantage here in the Highlands. It was another Highland horror show for the county stand-in goalkeeper Jack Hamilton. He was culpable for one of the Rangers' goals here a couple of weeks ago, and when Ocean Smith curled in a free kick, it was wide in the left hand side, he swung it into the near post. It looked a routine take for the goalkeeper low down, but he spilled it back out, and big centre back Iacoviti was first to react in 27 minutes to fire high into the net and give St Mirren the lead. The buddies had hardly been in the game up until that stage. County, with a strong wind at their backs, had made all the running. It was a free kick over the top by Noah Chivers to threaten Ellery Balcom, but then with a first foray up the field, Saints got a free kick wide in the left. It looked as if Scott Tanzer was going to take it. He stood over it. Smith fired it in, and as I say, Hamilton spelled it out carelessly for Iacoviti to score. And after that, St Mirren really got a tonic. Killian Phillips had a short block. Roland Adolu made progress before his chance was snuffed out as well. And it was only in the last few minutes, just before the break, that County really managed to rally again. There was a shot wide by Chilvers. There was then another effort off target by the right wing-back, Mishi Efeti. And then in 2 minutes of added time, the same stand-in skipper, Marcus Fraser, also back in the Highlands against his old club. He had a headed clearance that fell invitingly for Josh Nisbet. But again, his effort was off target. Saints have got their wins at their back in the second half. They will look to build on this. At the break in Dingwall, Ross County 0, St Mirren 1.
It's also half time at Ibrox, Andrew McLean.
Rangers 0, Dundee 0, the half time score. The hosts have had all of the ball, they've had all the territory, just haven't been able to break Dundee down at all here at Ibrox. It is windy and wet conditions, really not ideal for a game of football. You did wonder if it would have a big effect on this game. Rangers have tried different ways to unlock that Dundee defence. A few times there's been some nice quick passing around the box. They've tried some balls over the top. They've tried shots from distance as well, which has probably brought the best success so far, or close to it anyway, in this game. The first was Yanis Hadji, who cut in on his right foot, quite an angle from distance. Really powerful shot, clipped the top of the bar. Then half an hour in, Jeff Day with a really good run, cutting inside on the left. He was fouled. Good free kick territory for James Tavernier, just left the centre, one of the ones that you could envisage him curling that one over into the top corner, so nearly came off, but hit the underside of the bar and bounced out. They were really trying to step it up towards the end of the half. The only real chance he created from open play was from Vaclav Cherny. Down the right, he cut in, back out, low shot across goal with his right boot, but that was saved by Trevor Carson. We know that Liam Kelly was drafted in last minute, Jack Butland injured in the warm-up, but he's barely touched the ball, Liam Kelly. Dundee have hardly been out of their own half. Liam Kelly has just been a spectator, but he'll be hoping that his team can do the business at the other end of the pitch in the second half. The half-time score, Rangers 0, Dundee 0.
So not quite going to plan at Ibrox yet, but time left for Philippe Clement's side to turn that around. The game of the day, undoubtedly at Pittodrie. Dave Galloway has been in for a treat.
Yeah, absolutely, Gordon. Half-time, it's Aberdeen 1, Hibs 2. A really good first half in tricky conditions. It's cold and windy. Some entertaining football from both sides. The hosts nearly took the lead when Keskinen's cross was met by Sokler, but Bashiri made a superb goal-saving block. It was 1-0 on 14 minutes. Clarkson found Keskinen. He made a great run down the left, then cut inside before finishing into the bottom corner. But Hibs equalised just 4 minutes later. A goal kick was flicked on. Rubizic made a complete hash of his attempted clearance. Just didn't make any contact with the ball at all. And Boyle squared for Ewan to tap in. He had pretty much the whole goal to aim for. Keskinen nearly restored Aberdeen's lead with a curling 20-yard shot that beat Smith all ends up. However, it hit the inside of the post and the ball came back out. However, Hibs made it 2-1 after 35 minutes. Boyle again the creator, crossing to the back post, for Nicky Cadden to net with a superb volley. Doesn't look like we're quite done with the scoring yet. More of the same, please, in the second half. At the interval, it's Aberdeen 1, Hibs 2.
What about our featured championship game then between Falkirk and Hamilton with David Friel?
Good game so far, Gordon, but goalless Falkirk nil, Hamilton nil. Level at the break, I'm just not sure how. Falkirk have totally dominated, Hamilton are hanging on. And to be fair to Hamilton, actually the first shot of the game. Good effort, Kyle McDonald saved by Nicky Hogarth, but after that was 4 minutes, and then after that Falkirk settled, they're completely dominated, they're so easy in the eye, a joy to watch when they knock it about. They just haven't been able to make the breakthrough. Ethan Ross, a real standout for them this season, he's been at the centre of absolutely everything. He teed up Calvin Miller, Falkirk's first chance in 8 minutes, he dragged that wide. Ethan Ross then busted himself, he was denied by a brilliant tackle from Sean McGinty. Ross McKeever was then denied by Hamilton keeper Charlie Albinson after more great play from Ethan Ross. Alfredo Aguiman, he's been a real threat, he had two attempts blocked. Calvin Miller then had a low shot saved. Aidan Nesbitt then missed from 6 yards. Ross McKeever then missed from 4 yards. So you get the theme of this game, Falkirk well on top, they just haven't been able to find that goal, but I'm sure they will get it in the second half. Hamilton just need to do better, they've not really offered much up top. Half time, Falkirk nil, Hamilton nil.
And we'll do a full roundup of the half time scores next.